want to thank Alan very much for coming this way tonight and telling of the grace of God in his life. And we can only say it is the grace of God, for nobody else could make that change, only the Lord. It's a great encouragement to us, and I'm sure a great encouragement to the folks here in Bethany. Sometimes, you know, when you're praying or you're teaching Sunday school, sometimes it just seems so futile. But you know, that seed that's going forth is a living seed, and it will bear fruit. And we've seen that demonstrated tonight. And we thank Alan for coming tonight and telling us of how the Lord met and saved him. Now, we've just a few minutes left tonight. I just want to bring a short word, and really it's just to follow up on what Alan was saying, because what Alan was saying tonight was when he heard the gospel, he was persuaded. He was persuaded that what he read in the Bible, what he heard, was right. And he trusted in Christ as his own personal Savior. Now, the word persuaded means to be convinced about something or other. And there's a word, this word persuaded is used about three men in the New Testament. One man was fully persuaded. There was a monarch that was almost persuaded. And there's the many that are never persuaded. Just want to look at those three men very quickly. First of all, a man who was fully persuaded. And we read of that man in 2 Timothy 1 and 12. It's the Apostle Paul that's writing to young Timothy. And he says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." The Apostle Paul was persuaded in his heart that the Lord Jesus Christ was who he said he was. He is the Savior of the world. And the Apostle Paul said, "For I know in whom I have believed." It wasn't something airy fairy or something he'd heard from somebody else, but he was persuaded that Christ was able to save because he said, "I know in whom I have believed." Because Paul had a confrontation with Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. There was one day when he was hell-bent in casting people into prison, taking them to Damascus to be imprisoned, and the Lord intervened in his life, and he had a personal dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he heard and what he saw that day persuaded Paul to trust in Christ. He was known as Saul of Tarsus, but he has his name changed to Paul. And what a difference salvation made in his life. And Paul could say, "I am persuaded that he is able to keep that." Keep what? Keep the salvation of his soul. Until when? Until that great day when the Lord shall come. And that day is coming quicker than we imagine. If we think of the events that's happening in the world, the tsunamis, the earthquakes, all the violence that has happened, it's all in this book. And it tells us that these are the signs of the coming of the Lord. So Paul said, "I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that." He was persuaded not only that God was able to save him, but God was able to keep him. There's living proof of it. And there's many, many examples in the meeting tonight. You know, I'm sure there's many in the meeting tonight, and when they get there saved, some of their friends said, "Well, I'll give you 6 weeks. I'll give you a fortnight." But you know, salvation wears well, doesn't it? And whom the Lord saves, he keeps. And Paul was sure of that. "For I know." He had an experience with Christ. He'd received a salvation. And so he could say, like Alan said tonight, "I know." It's like the wee chorus says, "How do you know that I'm saved?" Well, it was there when it happened, and I ought to know. And so Paul was fully persuaded. He was in Christ, and everything he'd committed unto him, Paul said, "He's going to keep that. He's going to keep me. And then when he comes, he's going to take me to glory." And then we read of a monarch in Acts chapter 26, and he was almost persuaded. And the king was Agrippa. The Apostle Paul was brought before Festus, the governor, and King Agrippa. and he was faithful in preaching the gospel. He is faithful to God, and he is faithful to their hearts. And Agrippa, when he had heard Paul preach, he said in verse 28, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. Almost. But you see, almost, it's not enough. It's not enough. Maybe someone here tonight, and like Alan, you can remember a time when God brought you under conviction of sin, and you knew that now was the time you should really close in with God's offer of mercy, and you were almost persuaded. And then something stepped in. I can remember one night when I was about 12 years, 13 years of age. I was at a boys' brigade service, and I remember the preacher preaching that night. And just like Alan, there was the conviction of sin. There was that conviction that I should trust in Christ. But you know, when we got outside of the church and we met with our friends and the conversation wasn't about spiritual things, and the conviction waned. And it wasn't until I was 27 years of age that I got saved. But Agrippa heard. Paul was faithful. He was faithful in preaching the gospel. Faithful in telling Agrippa that he, Paul, was called to be a witness. And what he was to do was, verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by the faith that is in me. Paul was faithful to Agrippa. Agrippa, the gospel is, it's good news. And the gospel is that it might open the eyes of the blind. It might turn them from darkness into light. That's where Alan was walking in. He was walking in the darkness. His eyes were blinded, not physically, but spiritually. To deliver them from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins. And I tell you, friends, tonight, the greatest thing that you ever can receive in this scene of time is the forgiveness for your sin. Because that sin question has to be dealt with. And God dealt with that sin question in the life of Alan. And he must deal with it in your life and mine, or we'll never see heaven. It's our sins, as Isaiah said, that have separated us from God. And Agrippa, yes, he was spoken to. And he said, "Almost thou persuadest me, but not altogether." You know, good intentions sometimes don't come to fruition. Mother used to say to me, "You know, Jim, if good intentions got you into heaven, you'd be there, no problem." But it was many years before those good intentions came to fruition. And as Alan said tonight, "My spirit, God says, shall not always strive with man." We never read of Agrippa coming to Christ. Yet he was almost persuaded. And something else, he was a privileged man because he knew the scriptures. And Paul said, verse 27, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." I'm sure tonight I'm not speaking to anyone that doesn't believe that this is God's word. That the prophets are telling the truth. And it's good to know that. But it's not enough. You have to believe what they're saying and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Paul was fully persuaded. Agrippa was almost. But almost is to be lost. And then sadly, many are never persuaded. We think of that solemn chapter in Luke chapter 16. It tells us of two men. One was a rich man, the other was a poor man, Lazarus. The rich man fared sumptuously every day. The Lord tells us he was rich. And we would know he was rich by where he lived and the clothes that he wore. And the food that he ate. It was well known that he here was a rich man. What we don't read was that he shared his food with the Lazarus who sat at his gate and the dogs licking his sores. And you know, this man had it made. He was rich. He was wealthy. He had heart's desire. Fed well every day. But there's the one thing needful that he hadn't got that Lazarus had, and that was God's salvation. And that man was never persuaded. And how do we know? Because the Bible tells us that it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He went to heaven. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Lazarus had nothing of this world's goods. He was full of sores. He lay at the rich man's gate, and the dogs came and licked his sores. But he had the one thing needful, and that was the salvation of his precious, never-dying soul. The rich man had all that this world could give. And at the end of the day, he had to leave it. Had to leave it. And he lost his own soul. And he opened up his eyes in hell, being in torments. He reasoned with Abraham. He was tormented. And then he remembered his five brethren at home, and he said to Abraham, I have five brethren. Send Lazarus that he might testify, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham, if you would just send Lazarus, he would go and they would tell my brethren, and they would listen. And they would make preparation so that they don't end up in this awful place of torment. These are the words of Abraham. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. What's that telling you and I? It's telling me the authority of God's word. And if men and women don't believe the word of God, and if they don't believe the Christ of the Word, that he came into this world and he went to the cross of Calvary and there offered up his life, a ransom for many. If they believe not that message, even though one rose from the dead. Now you and I would think that's a tremendous thing. If somebody would just rise from the dead and tell us all about hell, then we would believe them. Not a bit of it. Not a bit of it. Not a bit of it. If they don't believe Moses and the prophets. In other words, if they don't believe God's word. If they don't believe God's word, they'll not be persuaded. I wonder which of these three men we're speaking to tonight. I know there's a great deal of people here tonight, and they're fully persuaded. And they can look back to that time, like Alan in their life, when they definitely met Jesus Christ. And under conviction of sin, they called upon the name of the Lord. And they proved the truth of God's word. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe there's someone in the meeting tonight and you've almost been persuaded. You have a wee inkling that that's the right thing to do. Maybe a time like Alan when I should have done that. The Lord was speaking to me, but you put it off. Or maybe there's someone tonight. You know what Alan's talking about. You know what I'm talking about tonight. You once were there, trusting in Christ as your Savior. And let me say, if a man is genuinely saved, he never ever can be lost. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And what God gives, he doesn't take back. But tonight finds you away in the mountains wild and bare. You've got cold at heart. You're no longer enjoying God's salvation in your heart. You've got God's salvation, but you're not enjoying it. What was the thing that David prayed for in Psalm 51 that God would restore unto him? He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You see, the devil's lie is that salvation is something that makes you miserable. Well, I don't think Alan Oliver's a miserable person. And I don't think there are any Christians in here tonight miserable. That's the devil's lie. Salvation is a joyous thing. You need to come back tonight. You need to have that joy again and go on serving the Lord and proving the Lord and then witnessing to others. And then I wonder if there's someone saying to me tonight, not tonight, some other time, like Felix, when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. What more convenient season can people have? Being in a gospel meeting, God's people praying, God's Spirit working in their hearts. This is the convenient season. This is the opportune time. And friend, you come tonight. It's a family and friends tonight. You are among friends. We'd love to help you tonight. Spend time with you around the Word of God. You don't need anybody tonight. Just in your heart, you can cry unto God, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Repent of your sin and believe the gospel. And that transaction takes place in an instant. In an instant. Happens immediately. You can come in here tonight out of Christ and held by many a snare. If you trust in the Lord tonight, young person, you can leave this meeting rejoicing. A joy that you've never ever experienced before. Just don't take my word for it. You take God's word. There's life and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if you persuaded tonight. Thank God Alan was persuaded that the Lord was not only able to save him because he went to the cross and there paid for our sins in his own body in the tree, but he's also able to keep us and to present us spotless before his Father with exceeding great joy. Oh, we trust tonight that you'll be persuaded all together and come and put your trust in Christ. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts.